This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Week 11 Recap. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Week 11 Recap Show. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. With me, of course, is Andrew Erickson. Ryan Warmly is off tonight, enjoying his life somewhere. He is out living the dream somewhere. So I am the replacement. And in honor of Ryan Warmly, I, of course, am wearing my Shane Falco jersey. Here it is, number 16, because I'm the replacement tonight. So there you go. Washington Sentinel's own Shane Falco. And, of course, Deepak Chona, who always joins us as well on the program. He is unavailable tonight as well. Unfortunately, he had a family issue to take care of. So we're not doctors, but we're still going to give you the injuries. We're going to give you all the football here as well. So Andrew Erickson, it was a crazy fun week 11. Certainly some blowout games, a few close ones as well, and a lot to take away. But obviously, first things first, let's talk about the Joe Mixon situation too. It was a head injury. That seems to be the biggest of the issues we have because this is a big-time running back. Looks like we might be without him for at least a week because we always know that in these case scenarios, it seems like from the NFL's protocols now that these guys tend to miss at least 1 week minimum. Maybe they should miss more. We can talk about that another time. But what do you make out of the situation here with the Cincinnati backfield? Samaje Perine certainly getting a lot of action today, but is that something we can count on going forward into week 12?
Yeah, I apologize for not recommending the Joe Burrow, Samaje Perine stack more in DFS for Perine's three receiving touchdowns from Joe Burrow. I think that Perine will be the guy that is going to be the starter next week. Expect Mixon to miss at least one game, just kind of with the track record of these head injuries. But just keep in mind, they are playing the Tennessee Titans on the road. Titans are a shutdown run defense, you know, right next to the Washington Commanders, who we saw basically erase Damian Pierce on the ground today. It's going to be tough sledding for Perine as a rusher, but luckily because he is so involved in the passing game, you can feel good about starting him if you do end up picking him up off the waiver wire heading into week 12.
All right, let's get to the rest of the injuries too. We'll fly through these, give you some quick fantasy takes at the very least. We have Kyle Pitts, who left suffering a knee injury in week 11. Justin Fields, scary moment with the shoulder injury there. Justin Fields, unfortunately, the back-to-back QB1 for the last 2 weeks, but he's not going to do it 3 weeks in a row. Makes me sad. Matthew Stafford suffered a concussion during week 11 too. Now, this was a guy who was dealing with a concussion last week, perhaps rushed things back a little too soon. We could talk about that. The direction of the Rams. Wandell Robinson suffers a knee injury going into week 11 as well. Unfortunately, this guy was dealing with a hamstring injury prior, but the knee was a huge bummer. It was a good matchup, good situation for Wandell. And Jaylen Warren, who a lot of us had high expectations for potentially as a flex play, Unfortunately, he suffered a hamstring injury as well this week. So let's start with Matthew Stafford here, Andrew Erickson, because obviously this is the ripple effect of where the Rams are going to be the rest of season. Wolford was out too. We're down to the third string quarterback. That's never a good thing in the NFL. And then on top of that, we're talking about Cooper Kupp. I keep telling everybody, in a month from now, even if Cooper Kupp is healthy, are the Rams relevant? I think that's a big fat no. And there's no reason to then rush that asset back because there's no football to be won at that point, which means that if you've got him in fantasy, it's time to move on from Cooper Kupp if you can. If the trade deadline's still there for you and you can move on for Cooper Kupp because somebody's still believing that pipe dream, it's time to move on. But I want to know what you think about keeper leagues. Let's say you're in a spot you can win right now and flip Cooper Kupp. Are you going to take that opportunity to do that and win now?
100%. I'm in a similar situation in one of my dynasty leagues where I have a really strong team, the contender. I'm in first place and I want to win because it's the first time I'd ever win this dynasty league. And I have Cooper Kupp and I know that he's not going to be part of my winning lineup. So I'm trying to find ways and managers to move him for other pieces that can help me now, especially because I am light at running back. So I'm willing to mortgage a little bit of my future. You know, Cooper Kupp, remember, is a bit of an older player and will be 2 years removed from his, you know, special 2020 campaign or 2021 campaign. So I think that that is the sharp move and don't rely on really any of these Rams moving forward. I know Allen Robinson caught the touchdown. Like, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. 4 for 40 and a touchdown. Like, exactly what I thought his box score was going to be. And Higbee was horrible just because he got a lot of targets. But yeah, the Rams, you can't trust any of these guys. It's just a bad offense overall. I know in draft season, we thought it would be a good offense. Tends not to be no longer the case. So it's a team that you just try to want to avoid for fantasy purposes.
Now, for the latest on all these injuries, too, especially the Justin Fields situation and Wandale Robinson, another one, too, make sure you're following us over on social media and also make sure that you download that Fantasy Pros News Desk app to get all the latest. I know Deepak's going to have write-ups on these guys like he always does, so go to fantasypros.com for the latest. Again, we're not doctors. We might be fantasy doctors, but not real life, so we don't have that medical background. So we're not going to tell you about how long people are going to be out or what those situations are. We know what the concussions typically, what to expect. But some of these other injuries, we want the experts to really break them down. So go to fantasypros.com for the latest or the Fantasy Pros News Desk app. Here's a question for you, too. Wandale Robinson, good situation for him, and unfortunately, it kind of went south with the injury. Slayton still showed up. Richie James had a moment. So the Wandale injury, kind of frustrating, but I guess on a lower scale for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was someone that, you know, people were like considering, hey, can I pick this guy off the waiver wire? I need like a fill-in. And he was, as you mentioned before, like he was already hurt like entering this game. So a lot of people weren't like, well, I'm ride or die with Wandale Robinson in my lineup. Like, it obviously worked out if you streamed him, but now it's like, you're probably just going to end up dropping him. Like, he's not if he's hurt. They're talking about this being a potential serious right knee injury. And with the quick turnaround time with the Giants playing on Thursday, I can't imagine he's going to be out there on Thanksgiving. So he's probably something you're going to want to drop. And Darius Slayton, make sure that he's not available on waivers. I know that he doesn't have really the name cachet, but sometimes it matters to actually just look at the box score and look at what he's done over the last month. And it's like, wow, like this guy's been like a rock solid, like top 30 guy that you can start. So yeah, make sure you pick up Darius Slayton, and just unfortunate for Wandale. I like the bill as a rookie, but the size issue and his injury concerns are red flags moving forward.
Yeah, and look, Darius Slayton's always had a good rapport with Daniel Jones. I mean, always been for Daniel Jones has been there. He's looked for Darius Slayton, especially in the red zone areas. He's always been good for touchdowns. Volume has been his Achilles heel, but he's been efficient in terms of bringing some fantasy points when he's been on the field, at least. Let's get to the headlines before we get to the box scores. Andrew Erickson, give me your QB headline for week 11 as we're recapping the week that was.
Yeah, we're going to stick with the Giants here. So Danny Dimes does it again. Daniel Jones, big week in the fantasy box score this week. And it's weird with Daniel Jones because a lot of times we recommend him as a starter and we always kind of say like, yeah, like you can start Daniel Jones. Like, yeah, like he's a good start. Like everything on paper, he checks off all the boxes. You're like, just don't watch the game. And like, maybe it'll work out. But it did work out today. 7 rushes for 50 yards and a touchdown. He also threw for 341 passing yards. He also threw for another touchdown to Richie James. So Daniel Jones, like the rushing is there for him. Like, I hate to like label him like, oh, he's like the poor man's Justin Fields, but I mean, he's, I guess, the poor versions of any of these elite quarterback rushers because he is getting it done. And in this Brian Daboll system, he's been asked to do like a little bit less, but be more efficient when he's given opportunities. And the fact that they're running him so much more is why he is one of the top streamers basically every single week. Now, is he going to be able to get it done against Dallas? I would have to say that I'm very skeptical of that, especially because he did.
Yeah, better run.
But if he's running around, then he's going to be able to provide some production, even if he does turn the ball over a couple times. And you saw that today with the Giants unable to kind of play ball control. You saw him throw interceptions for the first time since week three. So, yes, he's going to be a little bit more turnover. You know, that's going to happen. But the fantasy points will obviously still be there.
I told you before we went live, call it right now, the Giants beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Because there's always an upset game every year. There's never like that one, like, oh, all the favorites always win. No, never happens on Thanksgiving. What? I watched the Patriots today. It ain't coming from there. They can't get out of their own way at all. So that's not going to happen. It's not going to be Buffalo losing to Detroit. Tell you right now, 40-3. Oh, the Cowboys look great. Then comes Daniel Jones after losing to the Detroit Lions. And just mark it down in your calendars, folks. It's going to be a good time. Let's get to the RB headline here. Who you got here in week 11? Who is the top of the pops?
Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams with the hat trick. 3 rushing touchdowns for the Lions. Goal line running back. 17 carries for 64 yards. DeAndre Swift had 5 carries for 20 yards. He also scored. He also had 3 targets for 12 yards. But Jamal Williams, man, this guy either does absolutely nothing or he scores 3 touchdowns. Like, that's really what he's kind of done for you. And he's someone that I was really not high on and during draft season because I thought, you know, he's the backup to DeAndre Swift. I think Swift's going to, you know, take over this goal line role, which is a total swing and a miss. Like, that just did not happen. And that's why Jamal Williams has been so productive and I believe leads the lead in touchdowns with 12 scores this season. So Jamal Williams, I mean, you have just, if you drafted him and have had him, hopefully you've been able to take advantage of some of these starts because sometimes it hasn't been super obvious, like, when to start him. But with him just continuing to play ahead of DeAndre Swift, you just got to keep playing him.
Yeah, it's stunning. 159 rush attempts, 12 touchdowns. Derrick Henry has 230 rush attempts and 10 touchdowns. So just to give you a little, and Nick Chubb's in between those two, but still the stunning amount of touchdowns for the amount of carries he's had this year. Talk about the king of TDs. It's Jamal Williams. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But Swift, on the other hand, I know we found the end zone again, but still it's it. That's it. I'm done. Yeah. I had my patience. We're at the trade deadline. I trade him off for whatever I can get, and I move on. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see his role change drastically, especially they're playing a short week. Do you think that, on Thursday, now let's give Swift a big workload. Like, that makes no sense in my mind. And by that point, it's like, Dan Campbell likes Jamal Williams a lot, and there's no reason. Why would he go away from his goal line back who just keeps scoring touchdowns? Like, that doesn't make any sense. So they're going to keep feeding Williams.
All right, let's get to the wide receiver headline for week 11. Who is it?
Amari Cooper, Holiday Road. So he packed his bags and he was able to get it done this time. Not actually suck on the road. Amari Cooper got it done. 8 of 12 targets, 31% target share, 113 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. I can only imagine Amari Cooper's face when he got the email saying that the game got moved to Detroit. He's like, oh my God, we don't have to go play in this. Because I imagine him just on the sideline with his hands in his like pocket and his heat warmer thingies. And
he's
just
signed in Cleveland. Doesn't he know where he signed? I mean, Cleveland's not going to be cold. I mean,
well, he hates the cold. He doesn't like
it. But technically it was a neutral site. So yeah, I guess it really wasn't technically a road game after all. So maybe
he wasn't at the dog pound is what I'm saying. And he got it done. So Amari Cooper, it seems like he maybe he's knocked the trend from this. And I hope that you bought low. Like Amari Cooper, I was really trying to press people to try to trade for. And this is why, you know, because he can put up games like this. And he's been doing this all year long. And with Deshaun Watson coming back, like, I think that's just going to stabilize his floor. And you're not going to see as many games where he just like totally disappears and see an even bigger ceiling. I mean, we've seen him have spike weeks with Jacoby Brissett. So I've been impressed with Amari Cooper very much this year.
I bet the Jets would like to have Jacoby Brissett right now playing quarterback. let's get to your tight end headline of the week. Who is it?
Yeah, not a lot of great tight end performances. The one that kind of stuck out to me was Dawson Knox for the Buffalo Bills. You know, he had been someone that we liked a lot last year and had kind of fallen off during the beginning of the season. Not really someone that you could really rely on, but, you know, steadily his role has improved in the offense. He's starting to step up. 7 targets today, 7 for 70 yards. He didn't score, but, you know, he led the Bills in targets. Like, they didn't use Stephon Diggs nearly as much until Stephon Diggs basically yelled at Sean McDermott, like, hey, like, get me involved. And then Stephon Diggs got a touchdown. So I was pleased to see what I saw from Dawson Knox. And tight end is obviously a position that, you know, there's not a lot of highlights from the position every week. So Dawson Knox, I think he's available on some waiver wires. So I would make sure that he's scoop him up. He's in the Bills offense. Like, that itself is a reason to have him on a roster.
hey, man, I need a tight end. He was out there today, and I picked him up in the league, and boy, oh, boy, am I glad I did. It was the only tight end you could even stomach to grab off. I was like, we'll take a shot at Dawson Knox and see what happens. Well, it worked out, so lucky me. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. Let's take a quick break in the action and tell you about Manscaped. This holiday season, you know why mommy's kissing Santa Claus? Because he is all Manscaped. That's why. His beard is trimmed, his jingle balls are all taken care of, he smells good, he looks good, and that's why mommy wants him. So if you want some action this holiday season, Manscaped is the perfect gift for yourself or for that special loved one of yours. And if you use the promo code right now, JOEYP, you get 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped. Now look, Douglas fir is a kind of Christmas tree, not your nickname around the house. So Douglas, it's time to get Manscaped, and it's time for the Platinum Package. That's Platinum Package 4.0. It's got the body wash, the ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, the ultra premium deodorant, and you'll smell fresh from the top of your elf hat to the bottom of your candy cane. And right now, if you go to Manscaped, you'll also get that Lawnmower 4.0, the greatest grooming tool in the history of grooming tools, the Weed Whacker, the nose ear trimmer that features proprietary advanced skin-safe technology so you don't hurt yourself this holiday season, because nobody wants that, now do we? We want our jingle balls to be nice and smooth, no nicks, no cuts, no problems. So go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping. Again, that's manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping with the promo code JOEYP. Shave your balls for your girlfriend, Holly. Fa la 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 la, la 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 la. And now, back to the action.
Matchup recaps.
All right, let's get to the box scores here, and let's start with the Chicago Bears. They move to now 3-8, dropping a road game to the Atlanta Falcons, 27-24. Justin Fields, 85 yards rushing, still holding strong in the rushing. A rushing touchdown as well. Also threw for one and had an interception, 153 passing yards on the day. David Montgomery had a day where, I mean, it was good. The three receptions for 54, that was a nice addition. But the rushing line of 17 for 67, a touchdown, like that could have been his line whether Khalil Herbert was there or not. I don't know how much you want to take out of that. Cordero Patterson gave up a bad fumble in this game and then came back and took it right back to the house on the next kick return, which is pretty awesome. That was a pretty amazing turnaround moment there. And I think that was really where this game sort of turned, I think, for Atlanta. I feel like all the momentum from that point on kind of shifted there for him. Marcus Mariota also had a rushing touchdown, through for a touchdown. No picks for him, but just 131. So what are your takeaways here from the Bears and Falcons?
Yeah, Cordero Patterson saw his touches double, you know, as I kind of thought would happen. I thought he would have more work in this game. And it's funny because I used the fact that he was returning kicks as a reason to think that he would continue to see a lot of usage. And the fact that he broke I'm such a Josh Cribbs fan. Like, but I'm so happy that Cordero Patterson was the guy that broke Josh Cribbs' record for the most kickoff return touchdowns.
And Leon Patterson. Washington, I think they said, too.
And Leon Washington,
Leon Washington. That was another good one.
Both former Leon Washington, former Patriot for a hot second. Mm-hmm. Cordero Patterson, also a former Patriot. The people just forget about that. He was the first team that used him as a running back, not the Atlanta Falcons. And whatever, I'm just saying. But see,
but you're not bitter.
But I'm not bitter about it. Patterson's just getting it done with efficiency. Like, that's he's not going to be a volume monster. I think we have to just kind of realize that. Look, he's going to have a lower floor rest of season because he just isn't seeing all the volume in his offense. Like, Algier had 9 touches today. Patterson had 12. But the dude can rip off because he has wide receiver speed. Like, he can break off one of these big runs like not many other running backs can do. And the offense itself is catering to him being efficient. And the fact that they keep using him in kick returns, like, this is part of his upside. So you got points this week because he scored a return touchdown. So I think that that makes Patterson exciting. Kyle Pitts, it was unfortunate to see him leave the game with an injury because he led the team in targets. He had 5 targets. He actually led the team in targets and receiving yards. He didn't even play the whole game. So it's just, it's disappointing. And I think that, you know, if Kyle Pitts has to miss a couple weeks or something like that, I think it actually might be a relief for some fantasy managers because they can realize that they just don't have to like feel like they have to force to be starting Kyle Pitts when tight end is obviously so bad as it is. But yeah, it's just unfortunate because I think could have a bigger game here.
Let's get to the Carolina Panthers and Baltimore Ravens. This one was first half terrible. Only 3 points scored in the first half. Then eventually the Ravens took over. Lamar Jackson, 209 passing yards, no passing touchdowns. He did rush for one though. He also had 31 rushing yards there. Baker Mayfield had a QBR of 20.2 and a passer rating of 54.6 in this game. Two picks, no touchdowns, 196 for him. Look, not a lot of good here. Donta Foreman was, this is a terrible game for him. Averaging 2.2 yards. I mean, this was just gross for the Panthers. Panthers had zero fantasy love here. We knew Mark Andrews wasn't really healthy. He still put up 6 for 63. That's a 12-point day. You'll take that in the full PPR. Other than that, Kenyon Drake, I don't think quite had the game everybody was hoping for either. I think people thought he would smash in this spot. Well, not so much. This game was just bad for fantasy.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at how like dysfunctional the Ravens offense still is. Like, it just seems like they're not generating big plays anymore. And was it really?
Well, they don't have a running back. They don't have a real running back. I think when you think about the best of the Ravens, they had running backs, and everyone can make fun of Mark Ingram, but even Mark Ingram towards the end had enough left in the tank to really kind of be the guy a little bit towards the end there. Everyone by the joke, ha ha ha, Mark Ingram's no good. But you know what? He can still go out there and ground and pound a little bit. They don't have anybody who can do that right now. And that's been their identity, and they just can't do it.
Yeah, it's, ever since the Rashad Bateman injury, like it was the first 3 weeks of the season, we're like, oh man, this Ravens offense is cooking, and Bateman got hurt, and then basically they really haven't had a perimeter threat that really threatened defenses. Now, I know DeMarcus Robinson put up a really nice box score today, caught all 9 of his targets, 128 yards. Guys, the Ravens play the Broncos next week, so I'm not going to pick up DeMarcus Robinson because I'm not dealing with because Patrick Surtain's not going to be covering. It's not like Devontae Adams. It's totally different. Surtain can totally lock down DeMarcus Robinson.
Speaking of Devontae Adams, was anybody covering Devontae Adams in that last play? Devontae Adams, oh, I can't wait till we get to that game. He was only 20 yards of that guy. How do you let Devontae Adams, like, hey, guys, hey, we're in overtime. Let's just all make sure that Devontae Adams isn't guarded, everybody. What is happening there? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. But with DJ Moore, again, this is what happens when Baker Mayfield's quarterback. Like 3 for 24, 5 targets. Like that's why I talked about it as like a sit this week, because he just, Baker Mayfield, when he's a quarterback, he just sucks up the all
God,
life of
PJ
the entire
Walker
offense.
Time. Can we go back to PJ Walker, please? Oh God. All right. Cleveland Browns fall to the Buffalo Bills. Bills finally get back on track. They are now 7-3. Browns are 3-7. Jacoby Brissett did throw for 3 touchdowns, 324. He had a nice day here. Nick Chubb, very disappointing rushing day, 14 for 19. Terrible for him. But the good news was, Amari Cooper, as you pointed out, 2 touchdowns on 8 catches for 113. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the People's Champ, a touchdown, 5 catches for 61. Gabe Davis, unfortunately, didn't have a touchdown. Dawson Knox did have 7 for 70, though. Stephon Diggs, 4 for 48. He had the score here. Good day for Devin Singletary, as we predicted, 18 for 86 with a touchdown. Also, James Cook, 11 for 86. Why they traded for Nyheim Hines, I'll never know. But Josh Allen.
I know why.
Why?
I think they traded for him so when they play the Chiefs, they can use Nyheim Hines. Because the Chiefs are one of these teams that are really bad against pass-catching running backs, and I think that's the only reason they have him. Because they're going to not use him all year long, and they're going to play him in the Chiefs in the playoffs, and they're going to like unveil this entire Nyheim Hines package that the Chiefs have never seen.
That's a hard no. You can't sell me on that. I mean, this is just absurd. But it's good to see, it's good to see James Cook get some action. We all know that you can, I don't really take too much out of this, but certainly Singletary and Cook, you know anybody going against the Cleveland Browns now. I don't care how high or low on the trough the running back is, you must start them against the Cleveland Browns. And look, Josh Allen, once again, the Bills were lackluster in the first half of this game. Then they kind of put things together in the second half, and obviously the rest is history, as they say. But certainly, again, it's slow out of the gate. Buffalo needs to figure things out a little bit, but a win is a win, and certainly a good day for some of those ancillary pieces. Let's go to the next game here. Let's talk about the Washington Commanders, who go to 6-5 over the Houston Texans, 23-10. The Texans still have 1 win on the season. Taylor Heinicke went for 191 yards. No touchdowns for him, no interceptions either. Antonio Gibson had a good day, 18 carries for 72. Brian Robinson, 15 for 57. Unfortunately, no rushing touchdowns for any of them. You got a Curtis Samuel touchdown.
Because Curtis Samuel, how'd you get it? Touchdown.
I know. 2 catches for 18 and a touchdown. I mean, the Curtis Samuel stat lines this year are unbelievable, Erickson. It is, you want to talk about like threading the needle. This is like when people work with miniatures and you're trying to like, it's a miniature needle and a miniature thread. And that's what Curtis Samuel has done this year. It's stunning.
Yeah, I mean, if you started him, you really got bailed out by the rushing touchdown because no one was really projecting him to get that, especially with, you know, how bad the Texans have been against running back. So not super surprised that we didn't see Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson just like smash out of the planet. Yeah, I figured they would split work to an extent. I still think they were solid start. And I think it's still, I mean, it's still a good process play. Like, I don't think you should regret, like, oh, I'm an 100%. Idiot for starting Brian Robinson or Gibson. It's like, no, like, this was the right matchup to play them in. And unfortunately, on the other side of the ball, Dameon Pierce, this was just not the right matchup to play him in 10 carries for 8 yards. Oh. Look, Washington's defense.
They're good against the run.
And they don't even have Chase Young. Like, they're doing this without Chase Young. Like, this defensive line is just nasty. And against running backs that play on bad offenses, especially that are really just more of early down grinders like a Dameon Pierce, mm-hmm. like this is what's going to happen to a lot of the running backs that face the Commanders. So even though Pierce got all the work for the backfield, it still wasn't enough.
Great bounce back season for Montez Sweat. I'm going to go a little IDP on you. Bogman and I, of course, host the IDP show every week, Wednesday nights on the Twitter machine. Jonathan Allen, 2 sacks in this one. Also Montez Sweat. Sweat's had a really nice bounce back season this year. But yeah, I'll tell you what, Dameon Pierce, maybe this week's best buy low candidate, Erickson.
I think so. Well, yeah, because they're playing the Atlanta Falcons next week.
Ding. Let's go. Get on that bad boy. Let's cap it. All right. Unfortunately, the Jeff Saturday story did not get a happy ending this time around. They fell 17-16 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it was close there for a while. I mean, there was a couple moments in this game where you felt, is this really going to happen again? Is Jeff Saturday going to go beat the Eagles now with this Colts team? It was not meant to be. Matt Ryan, 2-13, no touchdowns for him. Jonathan Taylor, 22-84 on the ground with a touchdown. Good spot for him. Look, I will take the L on Michael Pittman. I didn't want to start him anywhere. He had 6 catches for 75. Paris Campbell, I did want to start. It basically had the same day, 5 for 67, no touchdowns between any of them. You got the Jonathan Taylor TD. That's what you got. On the flip side here, Jalen Hurts, 190 yards through the air, 1 touchdown. He also had a rushing touchdown and 86 rushing yards. It's all about those rushing yards. Miles Sanders, 13 for 47 on the ground. Devontae Smith had a good game. A.J. Brown, 5 for 60. Devontae Smith, 6 for 78. And then Quez Watkins had the touchdown, which I'm sure everybody had on their bingo card. So, Erickson, what's your fantasy takeaway from this contest?
Look, I think that with Smith and A.J. Brown specifically, like those guys combined for 70% of Jalen Hurts' targets this week. So, similar to like how we see it in Miami, where it's always Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, as long as Dallas Goedert is out, it's always going to be Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. Like, they're going to be the guys getting the targets. Now, again, Quez Watkins got the touchdown. I don't think that's going to be something that's going to happen moving forward. When he caught the touchdown, I thought that actually was Devontae Smith. I was like, oh, yeah, Devontae Smith. I told people to start him. He's like, that's not him. That's Quez Watkins. Like, dang it. But I think that the offense is still going to go through those two guys, and I really would not be chasing really anyone else, even like the tight ends. Like, we were trying to project, oh, it's going to be Jack Stoll or Grant Calderon. And it's like, no, it's none of them. It's just the wide receivers. And Miles Sanders, this was the reason why I could never buy Miles Sanders during the offseason, was because of games like this, where mm-hmm. he gets rushing yards, 1 catch for 1 yard, no touchdowns, because who scores the rushing touchdowns? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the downside of Miles Sanders in this offense, where, yes, he's always going to be efficient, but if he doesn't score, he doesn't catch passes, that reveals a very shaky floor, which unfortunately has kind of reared its ugly head the last couple weeks.
Yeah, definitely a bad spot there. And I was tough on Devonta Smith because, look, I'm telling you, he's been living off that one great game for weeks now. Without Goddard there, certainly he was getting more work, and that's something, if that trend continues, he's going to be a very useful piece. I just wanted to see it. I saw it, so now I'll believe it a little bit more. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests against other people for the shot at winning over $150,000 in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb that leaderboard for your shot to win big money every single week. You can always test your skills versus the house at 20x your entry. And if you hit all your picks, boom, bet on the top 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sporting league, whether it be NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR too. Sign up today with promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS at nohouseadvantage.com, or download the app in app stores and get your first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play. So make sure you're playing at nohouseadvantage.com. And when you do, use that promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS to get that $25 deposit match. And now, back to the action. Here we go. We had to get to this game eventually. It's time, Erickson. The New England Patriots versus the New York Jets, 10-3. no offensive touchdowns scored in this game. The lone touchdown in this game came on a punt return, which everyone's like still trying to figure out why
like 10 seconds left in the game.
10 seconds left in the game. And yeah, that's where this happened. Why, how? Don't bother yourself with those kind of questions. You're only going to upset yourself. Mac Jones, 246, of course, no touchdowns. Damian Harris, though, had 8 carries for 65 yards, which is a bit of a gut punch because Ramondre Stevenson had 15 carries for just 26. Stevenson, though, was the guy in the passing game, though. He had 6 receptions for 56 yards. This look, the Jets defense is good. The Pats defense is good. Neither of these offenses is good. On the flip side, too, Elijah Moore, I think, is just giving up on life. Zach Wilson is a stone's throw from being, I think, moved on from a quarterback. If you're the Jets, you're 6-4. I got to pivot to somebody else. You are in the thick of this division. Look, you're 6-4. The Pats are 6-4. You're right behind the Bills. You're right behind the Miami Dolphins. You can't have these games for Zach Wilson. Again, his QBR, 24.4. His passer rating at 50.8. That is just terrible.
Yeah, it was this was an ugly game to watch. It was not fun to watch, honestly. I was like trying to find ways to look at other things other than this game. I think that the important thing to note is, yes, Damian Harris did have more rushing yards today than Ramondre Stevenson, but he did have a 30-yard game. Like,
yeah,
Ramondre just didn't. Yeah, run. Stevenson just didn't find any big. He just didn't get any big runs. Like, that's really it. I wouldn't read too much into it. Again, you mentioned the receiving. Look, since Mac Jones came back as a starter in Week 7. Ramondre Stevenson leads the team in targets. Like, he is their number one receiver because Mac Jones is either checking it down or getting sacked. Like, every time I look up, I'm like, he's sacked again. Like what is going on? And the offensive line
is sacked
not
the first play of the game, Mac Jones.
And
the
offensive line
of the game,
for
sacked.
The Patriots has already gotten more hurt. David Andrews is now potentially out for the season. Isaiah Wynn went down with an injury. Both those guys are definitely going to be out on Thursday against the Vikings. So you have two teams coming off. I mean, the Patriots won this game, but this was like one of the
one
ugliest
is such
wins
a
you
relative
could.
I would.
You could come
I
away
use
with
the word one. They were victorious accidentally. I think that's the best thing. But look, to the Jets' point, too, it's very frustrating because I think you look at the Jets, you see Garrett Wilson, you see Eli Moore, you see all these talented guys. And look, I'm playing the Jets' defense against anybody at this point. I mean, especially when you're getting good matchups like against the Patriots' offense. Jets' defense is for real. They're very good. Also, Matthew Judon continues to be at the top of the board. Another 1.5 sacks for him. Keep an eye on him, everybody, if you're making wagers for Defensive Player of the Year not named Micah Parsons. Because Michael Parsons is still that dude. He got a little banged up in this game, too. We'll see if anything comes of that. But I'll tell you what. I mean, Matthew Judon, interesting long shot. Those guys who have those sack titles, they tend to do well. All right, enough of this game. This was terrible. Let's get to something slightly more fun. The New Orleans Saints, 27. The Rams, 20. 3-7 now. The Rams, the Saints finally get another win at home. They are now 4-7. Andy Dalton, 260 yards. He was 21 for 25. 3 touchdowns on the day, including a just a dime piece to Chris Olave. What a great throw and catch that was. Taysom Hill still got his work in, though, of course. He had 9 carries for 52 yards. Chris Olave, 5 for 102 with that big TD, 153-yard touchdown reception. Juwan Johnson, another TD also. I've had a couple leagues where I've had to start Juwan Johnson in the last few weeks. And you know what? I ain't mad about it. Jarvis Landry also had a catch, 3 catches, excuse me, for 33 and a touchdown as well. On the flip side, this is how weird things are for the Rams. Tutu Atwell had a touchdown, his first career TDs. Congratulations for Tutu. Allen Robinson had a touchdown. Tyler Higbee, 4 for 45 in this one. Cam Akers, 14 for 61. People are going to be running to pick up Cam Akers this week. Do you think they should?
No, I definitely would not. I would definitely not recommend doing that. I mean, I thought it was different. I mean, it was definitely different. Like, he had not been leading the team in carries, but who knows what they're doing right now. They don't know what their quarterback is. They're using Tutu Atwell more than their other receivers. Right now, the only guy I could really think about starting is Tyler Higbee, and because he saw 8 targets, 30% target share this today, and that was against the Saints defense. So, like, the Saints defense, I knew he was going to be inefficient, so that's why he finished with 4 for 45. But, like, they're playing the Chiefs next week. So that's prime Tyler Higbee dump off time. Yes, like, give me Tyler Higbee, and then I don't
even
want
if we're down
else.
To the second or third string QB.
I think so. I mean, tight end, like we've talked about, is horrible. I mean, I'm not if I can trade Allen Robinson away, like, that'd be great after he catches a touchdown. Don't know who's going to buy it. But, yeah, just try to avoid this Rams team. Chris Olave, still good. Still good at football.
Still good. And by the way, this is Andy Dalton's team, right? I mean, there's no reason to go back to Jameis Winston, right? Jameis Winston's going to go back to him, right?
I mean, after Dalton had played, like, pretty poor the last couple weeks, to come out here and play pretty well, I would say, like, I think he probably shut the door. And also with Winston, is he healthy? We still don't really know that. I mean, he keeps saying he is. I don't know. I think that, but right now, I think Dalton would have to have, I mean, after he threw those pick sixes and they just still didn't replace him, it's like, I think that he's the guy. So he's probably there to stay.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner and Caden Ellis in this game both had 11 total tackles. So some big numbers for them in this one, too. Caden Ellis with 1.5 sacks also. So I want Andy Dalton to get the fair shake. I really do. All right, let's get to the New York Giants getting destroyed at home by the Detroit Lions. So crazy times. It's a very windy, blustery day in New York. Jamal Williams ran in a bunch of touchdowns. Andrew mentioned at the top, 3 TDs for him, 17 carries for 64. Swift did have 1 touchdown, 5 for 20 for him. Justin Jackson got some work. Jared Goff, just 165 yards through the air. No touchdowns for him. No touchdowns for Amon-Ra, but again, 7 for 76, so 14.5 points in PPR. You'll take that every single day of the week. On the Giants side, Wandell Robinson, 9 catches for 100 yards before the injury happened. So he gave you all he had. He gave you points when you needed them. So you'll take him. Darius Slayton, 5 for 86. Richie James had the touchdown on this one. Saquon, very quiet day for him. 15 for 22 for Saquon. So very disappointing day, but Daniel Jones salvaged a little bit of rushing there with 50 yards himself and 341 with a touchdown and 2 picks. What are your thoughts on the day that Saquon Barkley had today? Are you concerned at all that we're starting to get to a point where Saquon Barkley's usage might be taking a little toll on him?
I don't necessarily think so. I mean, 15 carries, 22 yards, 2 for 13 as a receiver on 5 targets. So he's still up around that like 20 touch threshold that we're kind of looking for running backs. I think the bigger takeaway is that maybe the Lions' run defense is not as bad as it was once to start this. Because this is the third week in a row that we were like, oh, this guy's set to smash. Like, and running backs facing the Lions have underwhelmed for 3 straight weeks. So after 1 week, it's usually like, okay, it's probably fluke. A second week, okay, like, maybe it was the offense they were playing. But 3 weeks in a row, it's like, okay, maybe the Lions are starting to kind of come together. I mean, they made a lot of plays on defense. You know, Aidan Hutchinson was making plays. Kirby Joseph, rookies making plays on defense. So as a relatively young defensive team, it would make sense that out of the gates, okay, they're a mess. Like, people are running all over them. They don't know what they're doing. But as they kind of come together, I mean, I believe the Lions are on a 3-game win streak, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. They won the last 3 games.
That is correct.
Yeah,
I believe.
So
I almost can't believe it, but
that's what I mean. Right. So perhaps the Lions aren't the same, like, oh, like, salivating running back matchup that we all kind of just have envisioned in our minds, and it's changing a little bit. Yeah, because last week they played the Bears and they didn't beat the Bears. So, or they did beat the Bears, but the Bears running backs
beat the Packers, which of course I remember fondly. Yeah, they lost to the Dolphins, which was a game honestly they should have won. That was in their grasp. So, yeah, the Lions have really turned things around. You know what they're showing? Grit. That's what they're showing.
It only took like 10 weeks, but
it only took 10 weeks. But
something to keep in mind. So even for, look, we talked about the Bills are playing the Lions. Maybe this isn't the same smash. This would be a sell high, potentially, opportunity for Devin Singletary. He's had back-to-back really good weeks, but James Cook, looks like he's getting a little bit more involved. Like, could James Cook share? You'd think they would use Nyheim Hines at some point. So I think Singletary would probably be a sell high for me. Yeah.
Nope. Never using him. Always. I don't know what that dog and pony show is, why they made that trade, but whatever. I mean, I don't know. It's done. In the battle of coaches, not long for this league, the Denver Broncos and Las Vegas Raiders locked up, and this bad boy went to overtime. 22-16, the Las Vegas Raiders win on a ball thrown to Davante Adams, where I'm telling you, Andrew, this was just stunning to me. I can't believe in overtime you let just Davante Adams, just no one around him, no one, not even close. So just another heartbreaking loss for the Broncos. They fall to 3-7. The Raiders get to 3-7. Derek Carr, 2 touchdowns, 307. That last one really kind of saved his day. Josh Jacobs, 24 carries, 109 yards, no touchdowns on the ground for him, but he also had 3 catches for 51. Davante Adams, what a day for him. 7 for 141 and 2 touchdowns. How was he not the star of the day? I don't know, but we'll talk more about that. Foster Moreau, disappointing day. A lot of people were trying to stream him. That did not quite work out. On the flip side, Courtland Sutton, 5 for 80. Good PPR day. No touchdown. Kendall Hinton, 3 for 57. Somebody DeBro was talking about quite a bit this morning on the live stream. Then Latavius Murray, 17 for 49 and a touchdown. Russell Wilson, 247. No touchdowns. Zero. Nada. Here we go. Andrew Erickson. This Denver Broncos offense is incredibly frustrating. Certainly without Jerry Jeudy, we did see a lot of volume going towards Courtland Sutton, but the lack of touchdowns in this offense is, dare I say, disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Courtland Sutton has one touchdown this year and Christian Watson has five in the last two games.
In 2 weeks.
It's just mind-boggling. I really don't think that it's going to get solved this year. It's just too much of a big task. I mean, I thought, after the bye week, they've got some positive matchups.
Well, they changed play calling, too. Clint Kubiak was taking over play calling. So I thought, okay, maybe we'll get something a little different. Didn't look all that different
to me. This is the matchup to do. And their offensive line is a mess. The fact that the Raiders were getting as much pressure as they were. I mean, Russell Wilson is literally running for his life, and he just doesn't have that same type of magic with his legs that he once had when he was younger in Seattle. And so he's making more plays off script. And if they didn't have a good defense, the Broncos, we would be talking about this team as the worst team in the NFL, because their offense is just so bad. They wouldn't be able to get out of their way. The defense is the only reason they're even staying in games and keeping things close. And obviously the dropping this one today just kind of removes them out of the picture. And this was a game they needed to win, and they didn't come through. So Courtland Sutton is kind of what you're going to get from him as long as Jeudy's out. And then, so he's fine, but obviously not a big difference maker.
Yeah, he would be 13, 14 PPR points. And if you get lucky and he gets a touchdown sometime again this season, that'd be swell. But you can't think of him any more than a low end wide receiver too, I think, at the best. That's kind of what he is.
And it sucks too, because he makes a lot of really great catches, a lot of sideline grabs, a lot of where he has to go up and get the ball, but it's just still not enough because they just don't have that touchdown chemistry that, Russ had with DK Metcalf, with Lockett. They just don't have that. So maybe next year they'll have it. But and also, too, to mention with the running backs, Melvin Gordon fumbled again in this game. So that's why it's not really surprising to see Latavius Murray out carry him 17-8. I think this team hates Melvin Gordon. It's just a mess. The backfield.
I got a
mess
prediction
too.
For you. Nathaniel Hackett, one and done. He ain't coming back next year, boys and girls. It ain't happening. Somebody else is going to be the coach of the Denver Broncos. I don't know who, but it's going to be somebody else. Let's get to another game here. Let's go to the Tony Pollard game. That's what I'm calling it. 40-3 Minnesota Vikings. Very emotional win last week. That emotion did not carry with them back home to Minnesota. They are now 8-2. Dallas Cowboys are now 7-3. Dak Prescott, 276 for two touchdowns. Tony Pollard, ladies and gentlemen, 15 carries for 80 yards, 6 receptions for 109, and not one, but two touchdowns, and two where nobody touched him. And I mean, nobody touched this guy. He is the dynamic, explosive back. What's annoying is that Ezekiel Elliott still had two touchdowns in this game, 15 for 42. I hate that. It's the worst. But look, this is Tony Pollard just smashing. CeeDee Lamb was underwhelming, 5 for 45. It was a Tony Pollard game. He just ran amok. On the flip side of this one, Minnesota Vikings, no touchdowns for anybody. Kirk Cousins, just 105 yards. It was gross. It was terrible. Dalvin Cook, 11 for 72. And Justin Jefferson, 3 for 33. Are you worried at all about the turf toe issue of Justin Jefferson? That was something we heard a little buzz about in the last few days. He said it was okay. He played through it. Do you think you just chalk this up to maybe just the emotional roller coaster of last week catching up with them and they couldn't just kind of reinflate the bubble? What do you make of this game for the Vikings? Because this was just dreadful for this offense, and they were supposed to do their job, and this game did not meet expectations.
Well, I think it was just them showing that I don't think they're a this bad of a team, but clearly, I mean, we all kind of knew
defensively,
that
I think they might be.
the 8-1 record we knew was fake. We knew that, they'd beaten teams, but when they played a good team, the Eagles, they got destroyed. And they've been playing backup quarterback after backup quarterback after backup quarterback. And this time they didn't. They played a real quarterback in a real defense, and they got shellacked. So I think that the Vikings are just a fraudulent team. They have a terrible red zone defense. And you saw that come up here with Zeke scoring, Tony Pollard scoring. It wasn't really super surprising to see them. I mean, the fact that the Cowboys were favored in this game, people are you put respect on the Vikings. They have a better record. They should be favored. It's really? Should they have been favored? I don't think so, because that was clearly not the case here. So I mean, the Vikings, now they have a quick turnaround. They're playing on Thanksgiving against the Patriots. It means we get Kirk Cousins on primetime on Thursday night. So
yeah,
maybe that might be the only thing to keep the Patriots in this game. But the Patriots have a great defense. So if Kirk Cousins can't get out of his own way, then we're going to see another Patriots barn burner where we have maybe a couple field goals. And Nick Folk is the MVP for the Patriots. So that'll be an interesting game to watch.
I do not
want to
see that. I want to have some pie. And I want to watch a lot of scoring. That's what I want out of that game.
I will mention, though, with the Vikings, Hawkinson, no, even before they took out Kirk Cousins, third straight game with 9 targets with the Vikings. So they're just like
for Hawkinson.
So he benefits.
They're using him.
If this Jefferson thing is a long lasting effect with his turf toe, like Adam Thielen is just, I mean, he's old now. I really don't think he's nearly as effective. KJ Osborne is just out there running sprints. So TJ Hawkinson is becoming like a massive part of this offense and a difference maker now at tight end.
And look, credit to the Cowboys defense too. I mean, if anything, if you watch that game, you're seeing, you know,
Thomas
Lawrence, you're seeing Micah Parsons with 2 sacks. I mean, you know, Micah Parsons was just, you know,
and
fantastic.
Yeah, that's a little preview of what's going to happen to Mac Jones with this Patriots offensive line. Just like, oh, wait, no, they're not playing Dallas, they're playing the Vikings.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's going to happen to Daniel Jones if he can't run out of the way. But I'm telling you right now, like, as good as the Cowboys looked against the Vikings, would it surprise you at all if they go and they lose to the Giants at home on Thanksgiving? I mean, they've lost a couple games.
What's the line open at? Or what is it? Do you even know what it is?
I will look for you before we get to the next one. But I mean, geez, if you're looking ahead here already, I mean, we always know one of these is always a disappointment. What do you think it is? I've got it. Go ahead. Take a guess.
So the Dallas is playing at home, right?
Dallas is at home. It is Thanksgiving. It's Turkey Day Dallas. I would say
they're favored by 6?
8.
Oh, God.
Oh,
big
yeah.
Blue, baby.
Tied together. Saquon Barkley, 200 all-purpose yards. You can sense, you can smell it now. Let's get to the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, the Steelers had this at the half. They were in control, and then they just didn't have any answer for the Joe Burrow Cincinnati Bengals. They go to 6-4. 37-30 is the final here. Joe Burrow, 355, 4 touchdowns. Did throw 2 picks, 1 to TJ Watt in this game. Joe Mixon, as we mentioned at the top, did have an injury in this one. Samaje Perine picked up the slack, 11 for 30. For him, he also caught 4 balls for 52 yards. And, 3 touchdowns for Samaje Perine. T. Higgins had 9 catches for 148. Underwhelming day for Tyler Boyd, 2 for 42. On the flip side, Najee Harris, back-to-back games with 20 carries, 90 yards for him. 2 touchdowns for Najee Harris. Let's go. Kenny Pickett, 265. He threw for a touchdown, 2. Nice one to Kenny, Kenny Pickens. George Pickens, and George Pickens could have had a second one. He was overthrown earlier in that game, too. Pat Freiermuth, 8 for 79. We talked so much about when Claypool moved on that Pat Freiermuth would be the big beneficiary. Well, guess what? He was. Deontay Johnson is not. 4 for 21. Freiermuth is somebody to go forward with for sure, to be very excited about. What do you make now of Najee Harris? Back-to-back 20 carry games for him, 90 yards, and 2 scores for Najee.
Yeah, no, that's impressive that he's been able to kind
of
rack up these. Yeah, bettering his last best game of the year, which was last week. So
that's right.
Yeah, you're excited in the fact that Jaylen Warren is banged up. Now they have to kind of feature Najee more. So I wasn't buying low on Najee, and I really didn't want him on my rosters. And if you still have him on your roster, then this is the ideal outcome for you. Like, this really could not have played out better for you if you held on, if you bought low when he was basically free. Yeah, I know you're feeling good about it. And I think I ranked George Pickens ahead of Deontay Johnson this week. And I think that's going to be it moving forward. Like, we just have not, like, the chemistry between Deontay Johnson and Kenny Pickett is non-existent. Like, it's not there. Whereas with Pickens,
is
it's
there.
Not perfect, but it's there. There's more there.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
And with Freiermuth, it's going to be the safety blanket. All the young quarterbacks always look for the tight ends. That's what you do. You check down, you look for it, and you make it work. All right. So, Andrew Erickson, your final thoughts for Week 11. Week 11, what are they?
Final thoughts for Week 11.
Your biggest takeaway, your final thought, your Jerry Springer moment, whatever you want to call it. It's Week 11. Before you put it away here, we got 2 more games, I know, but what you saw on Sunday, what's the biggest fantasy takeaway for you?
Do you have? I mean, I'll go back to Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper can be like a league winner because if he gets Deshaun Watson back and he's right, I think Cooper can really make a difference, and now that he's fixed his road splits, playing in a neutral field, I think he'll be fine.
Took you a long time to come up with one, but I'm glad you found it. It was worth it, too, because I think you're right. So there you have it. Amari Cooper can absolutely be a league winner. You check out that schedule he's got. Deshaun Watson coming back. Lots of things lining up for him and maybe the Cleveland Browns as well. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com. Use that promo code JOEYP to get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Again, that promo code is JOEYP and No House Advantage. Sign up now with the promo code PROS. That's one word, PROS, at nohouseadvantage.com, or download the app in the App Store to get a first deposit match up to $50. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play, and you won't want to miss out on No House Advantage. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.